Today's scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 37 through 47. The passage just can be found on page 1692 and 1694. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in another tongue as the Spirit enabled them. Verses 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had needed. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This ends today's reading. May God bless the reading and the application of his words. We'd like to invite Reverend Wong to come up.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy birthday to the church. Today is Pentecost, the day of the Holy Spirit, and the birthday of the first church on earth. The liturgical color for Pentecost is red, because the Holy Spirit came upon the apostle on the first Pentecost like tongues of fire. Pente is Greek, and it's the word for five. You know that the Pentagon has five sides. The word Pentecost refers to the 50 days after the Passover. It originally was a Jewish festival celebrating the harvest. That was why a big crowd had gathered in Jerusalem. It was into the midst of this international crowd that the Holy Spirit came noisily as a gust of wind from heaven into the room and appear to those who had committed themselves to following Christ. Without Pentecost, it would seem as if Jesus had gone to be with God and his followers are left alone in the world. At Easter, Christ promised to return, and he returned as the Holy Spirit, our comforter, guide, teacher, reminder, and strength. 50 days ago, we gathered here to celebrate Easter and the dedication of our church tower. We have wonderful memories of that day. Our sanctuary was crowded with people, and we saw many old members coming back and newcomers showing up. We had a crowd making lots of joyful noises. We took great pictures, and we had a wonderful reception. everyone was happy to celebrate our Lord's resurrection and the new look of our church building. On that day, I heard several people saying, "How nice it be if our church can be like this every Sunday." That's exactly what many of us wish. I believe it is also the wish of our God. Now, 50 days have passed. We gathered here again to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. For Christians, Pentecost Sunday is a day to celebrate hope. It is a celebration of newness, of renewal, of purpose, mission, and calling as God's people. It is a celebration of God's ongoing work in the world through His church. According to the birthday tradition, we can make a wish before we blow out the candles of the cake. Would you like to make a wish for our church at this special day? What is your dream for our church? Where does your dream come from? When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he preached a great sermon. He quoted the prophet Joel, saying that the Spirit would be poured out to all people, men and women, elderly and youth, regardless of gender and age. All believers would see visions and dream dreams. In the old days, God set His Spirit on a chosen few to be His servants. But in the era that begins with the first Christian Pentecost, God gave the Spirit to all who belong to the believing community. So, let us not sit back and wait for others to determine the future of our church. Seek God's vision and pay attention to your dream. The brainstorming meeting of the English ministry team that happened 2 months ago was a good start. Let's get involved to share our vision and dream of our church. May the Holy Spirit clearly guide us in our vision session that takes place next week. Do you believe that we can make our dream come true with God's help? Do you trust God that He can use us, each of us here, to carry out His vision? The passage this morning tells us how a Spirit-filled church establishes and expands. It may give us some hints on which we can reflect. Before Jesus left the world, He commanded His disciples that they should not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would give them the power to witness Christ across cultures, ethnicities, and continents. Where were the disciples when the Spirit descended upon them? They were all together in one place at the upper room. As they waited for Pentecost, there was unity. God loves unity. The message of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit comes to a group of believers and unites us in a joyful community with other people. And yet, what were they doing? They were all with one accord in prayer. Praying for what? Praying for the promise to be fulfilled. Praying for the Holy Spirit to come. brothers and sisters, we have great promises in God's word. He has promised that he will give us the Holy Spirit and that the Spirit will be with us. But we have to get together in small groups and wait. When Christians get together, the Holy Spirit can move among us in unexpected ways, enabling us to do things we could never do on our own. If there's one thing that grieves the Holy Spirit, surely it is dividedness. Let us seek more and more to be united as a church, although we have three congregations. Let's compliment one another and not try to get the upper hand over others, not try to show off and seek for ourselves the greater position, but rather humbly giving place to others, appreciating their talents and gifts, and work with them in respect and harmony. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly, God often, as when we least expect it. There are times when we think, maybe this time, maybe in this situation, maybe in this way. It is not always like that. God takes us by surprise. Often, when we are becoming desperate, when we have reached the end of our resources, when we feel helpless, God steps in for the glory of his grace. The first century Christians began to speak with other languages. They were able to communicate. Deaf ears were opened, hard hearts were softened, dulled minds were enlightened. The Spirit of God fills them so they can speak diverse languages recognized by the cosmopolitan crowd. The Holy Spirit come to bridge the gap between people by enabling them to communicate. Our world has changed much since the early church, and our need for communication has increased. As Christians, we believe that our primary calling is to communicate better with God, to spend more time in prayer, to listen better for God's voice. Yet, the message of Pentecost is that learning to communicate with one another is as much of a spiritual discipline as learning to communicate with God. Speaking in others' language and putting yourselves in others' shoes are the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the building of the community in love. When we are all gathered in one place this morning, what language is it that the Holy Spirit given you to speak to others? And what language can you learn from the others who are gathered here? Are you and I waiting and longing for God to come that we might know the power of God's Spirit to make us one despite our language differences in our congregations? In God's house, essence doesn't matter. Grammar doesn't matter. What matters is the Spirit-filled heart. Let's follow the disciples' footsteps whenever we speak and communicate, let's not be distracted by the form of our languages, whether it be English, Cantonese, or Mandarin, but pay attention to the hearts that intend to communicate. One hundred and 20 disciples gathered in the upper room. The sound of the Spirit's coming was like a wind filled the room. They not only heard God was in their midst, but they saw visible evidence of his presence. The sight of the tongues of fire was symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came as fire to warm their hearts. It must have been an awesome experience. It certainly got the attention of the neighborhood. Do you remember? Here it was, just 7 weeks after Peter had turned tail and run. And now, suddenly, here was this same Peter standing up in the center of the city to preach and calling people to repent. Peter was a changed man. The Holy Spirit had come upon him. Peter had the fire, but there was more to the fire that rested on those disciples there in that room in Jerusalem. Jesus had promised them that the Holy Spirit would be a counselor to them. Peter was guided by the Spirit as he preached that morning. And that preaching had such power that the church grew from 120 to 3,000 in just one day. That kind of power is beyond human comprehension. But understand it or not, the power, the fire was there that day. And that fire has continued to empower the church through 2,000 years. We think, wow, what great things could happen in us and through us if we would open ourselves up to the Spirit like Peter and the rest did. What a church we would have. Do we want that kind of power here? Do we want the fire of Pentecost to burn in CCC? I long for God to show us his presence, to stir us up, to awaken us, to revive us and quicken us, so that we'll become mighty witnesses for him. I long to see men and women cutting to their heart and crying out, what should we do? How can we get right with God? I believe that God is as able to make his people a flame of fire today as he was in the past. If we want it, we can have it. We can have it by preparing for it in the same way the early disciples did. First, wait for the Holy Spirit. First century Christians had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They had learned to trust him and to count on him. They had learned to follow him and be obedient to his commandments. They lived in an air of expectancy. They wait with a sense of real anticipation. Finally, they receive the Lord's first birthday gift to the church, the all-powerful Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit is a gift who brings comfort, encouragement, challenge, guidance, and most of all, power. Will we simply be fascinated by the Spirit as we watch others set on fire? Or will we pray, Lord, give us that fire? That is my prayer for CCC. And I hope it is yours. Second, start from where you are. Where will change begin? Where does revival come? Pentecost is a sacred time for renewal. Nothing will happen if we wait on others to change. We will not see changes until we accept the responsibility to change ourselves. To begin where we are requires a willingness to grow as a person. Personal growth is the only valid way to change a church's dynamic. When you pay attention to your own spiritual enrichment, you will devote yourself to letting God fill you with His Spirit. Once you are full of God, you will be contagious and make a difference where you are. The renewal of our church begins when you try to move spiritually further than you are right now. It is when you are growing as an individual that the church has the greatest potential for growth. The church is what you make it. It will never become what you want others to make it for you. Summer is here. Let's make good use of the sunlight and seize every opportunity to exercise our spiritual muscle. Have you made good use of the upper room and our daily bread? Third, go back to the Bible. First century Christians were devoted to the apostles' teaching. The power received through God's word made possible the growth of the church. To keep us spiritually growing, we need to go back to the basics and spend a little time each day reading the Bible or listening to it. This is indeed wonderful. Its voice and music make the Bible passages come alive. If you spend 20 minutes each day, you will finish hearing the whole New Testament in 40 days. You can listen to it when you are cooking, when you are exercising. By doing so, you are preparing yourself to get the most out of our summer retreat, which will focus on walk through the New Testament. Don't let a day go by without doing your devotion. I'm glad to tell you that the Cantonese congregation is not only listening to the Bible CD, they are also committed to read the same devotion materials every day and have a spiritual buddy with whom they share their spiritual insight. Four, stay connected with others. Christianity is always personal, but never individual. It is obvious that God calls us here to work together in this community to the glory of his name. As we do, the spark of faith within us is rekindled and spread to warm and enlighten others. Just as God poured out his spirit on his disciples on the day of Pentecost, God comes to us in wind and flames. Yet, from time to time, the fire grows cold. When it does, we need to stay connected with our fellow brothers and sisters to keep us warm. The first century Christians were drawn and committed to fellowship. What does this fellowship refer to? It was not a club, not just a group of like-minded people who get together for a while. The intimate knowledge of the resurrection, the foretastes of the future through the Spirit, were shaping that community. That fellowship had a sense of the future tied to it. This was a fellowship that would continue in eternity. People gave themselves to each other, knowing that each and every investment they made in a loving relationship would be an eternal investment. Constantly, they visit each other, sat down for a meal together, heard about each other's struggle, and prayed for one another. Day by day, as they spent much time together and ate their food with glad and sincere hearts, they enjoyed the favor of all people. They also made every effort to assimilate new members into the body of Christ. New members are added into the body as the church meets their needs. We have tried hard to bring all three congregations together for fellowship. Have you attended any of our fellowship activities this year? We should connect to each other more. Father's Day is coming. As far as I know, this will be the first time that our church have an outdoor activity for the fathers and their families. Please save your time and join us for fellowship. Five, be devoted to worship. The first century church began as a result of worship. They met together in the temple and at home every day. There was the breaking of bread and prayer. They found God in worship service. Worship is something we do not just participate on Sunday morning, but every day of the week, in all we say and do. Sunday morning is the conclusion of a week of worship when we gather as a community to celebrate the amazing grace of God in Christ. Our weekly Sunday worship service is not about us, but about God, and serving up an offering of praise and thanksgiving to the one who is worthy. God is the audience, and we are the choir, led by a group of musicians and other worship leaders who help us to praise God through singing, praying, hearing, and responding to God's word. Every church family has its worship style, as do we. Our worship community includes people of different ages, background, and economics. What unites us is Christ. So, come as you are, but don't just sit there passively. Get involved. Offer your gifts and talents, share your idea, and tell the preacher your comment of the sermon. When we truly praise God and want to please Him, we can find direction to improve our worship service. The renewal of our worship can happen right here this morning when we commit ourselves to participate. I encourage you to attend as many church services as possible. You can know all three congregations better, and you can learn languages other than your native tongue. It can also strengthen your love to this church. We should not stop gathering together with other believers. Instead, we should encourage each other to come more often. When one member is absent, all are affected. That's why I like to ask help from our members to accompany me to visit those who have not shown up in worship for a while. Sometimes we wonder how to get more people to come to church here. We wonder how we can keep our church vibrant and alive through another decade. These first Christians in Acts provide us the model. Today, I'm going to invite each of you to commit yourself to just for the summer, just to see what God could do if we would truly devote ourselves to allowing God to fill us with His Spirit for 3 months. If you could commit yourself to wait for the Holy Spirit, start from where you are. Stay connected with others. Go back to the Bible and be devoted to worship. We would transform this church. And then we will transform Chinatown. Or rather, Christ would transform this church and Chinatown through us, His faithful followers. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you.